What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Tulos Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to Tulos.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
So what's up, everybody? I'm Troy Gunn, a.k.a. Billionaire Gunn on Instagram.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is Artist Spotlight. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. And today we have, we're spotlighting a DJ who also puts out music. His name is, let's give it up for DJ Five Venom. Let's go. And we're going to talk about... We're going to get into some game about what we're doing. I'm excited to talk to you about it because this is my first time speaking to artist spotlight to a DJ. So just give you a heads up. I want to do this on camera. Just always like to reset the room. Artist Spotlight was my way of was like our way, my team and my way of having conversations with people who we should be showcasing, right? Like it's like if they're on the Artist Spotlight, that means that's somebody that you need to know. Right, because they're doing something you should listen to anyway if you're trying to get into it. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you because you come from a different place, bro. Yeah. So tell me about DJ Five Venom. I actually want to know how you got the name. I want to know, tell me about Five Venom. Where you from, everything.
Grew up in South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. Used to spend my summers in Virginia with my father's side of the family. And my cousin's a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be at work, I'll be in his room going through his records, messing up his needles, going through, but that was like my education on music and hip hop. So I'm just 93 listening to Nas and Wu-Tang and Monica, like all this, everything that we look at as classics now, I'm like going through and it's like my education. So I would spend my summers in his room learning how to DJ, now go home, school, every summer, come down. And eventually, when I graduated high school, going to college, I was like, let me get some equipment. Yeah. I enjoyed DJing. Serato was out, so I didn't have to have the vinyls. And I can get the music, and I'll just practice. And I would link with another DJ in South Jersey, DJ Soho. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And so I was going to all his gigs. I was setting up his equipment. I would open for him. And that's how I learned how to read crowds and music selection and how to get the reactions. And eventually I moved to Orlando and went to school there, Full Sail University. There, networked. I met DJ Q45.
Used to host. BET.
Right. Yeah. So that's like my big homie. Yeah. Same thing, that apprenticeship. Worked with him, set up his equipment, open for him, learned industry from him, connections. So I'm traveling with him, connecting dots. Eventually we went our separate ways, and I'm still working in Orlando. So I'm DJing now, job, 9 to 5s, try and grind it out. I eventually start working with an artist named West Fifth.
I know West Fifth.
Yep.
CEM3 now, right? Didn't he change
his
name?
Yes. Yeah, Carl.
That's my name. The same.
Nick Love was pushing him back then. Nick Love is like my brother.
Yes.
Love Nick. So West Fifth,
meet West. So start coming to Atlanta with West. He's looking for a deal with Nick.
Yep.
Running around. So I start moving around. And then West is getting booked for shows because he's the guy in Orlando. He gets hit up by this guy named Tariq Sharif.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, yo, we're doing a currency show in Orlando. You're buzzing here. You know, we book you, helps with the marketing.
Yeah.
So we do that show. That's when I meet Tariq Sharif and Matt Zengler, who are the owners of Rolling Loud.
Yeah.
I see these shows, and like with their idea with these shows at the time, their company was called Dope E&T, was they were filling a void of hip hop coming into Florida. The music that they were listening to, those artists weren't coming to Florida for some reason. So they're like, okay, let's book Currency. Tariq goes on Currency's Twitter page at the time, and his manager's info's on there. Quick email, send it. They do a three-day tour, Orlando, Tampa, Miami. So I see this, and they start bringing other artists in, and they're booking Wes as an opener for it. And I go to Tariq. I'm like, yo, Could I open be like your DJ for Orlando? At the time, they're working with DJ Demp from Tallahassee because they came up
with Demp. Because Demp is older. Demp had Demp Day in
so
Florida.
So Demp was like, Demp was a big part of them getting like the cosign. Because like the artists are coming to Florida, like, yo, who are these white boys? Like, and then Demp's like, nah, they good people. Like, so they're like, So I think it was another Currency show, like maybe like a year or so later. I open for Demp, and then Demp goes, and then Currency goes on. So they're like, yo, we're going to lock you in. You're going to be our guy. You do all our shows in Florida. So I'm doing nightclubs, and this is where I meet Troy at, actually, too. And he's promoter doing shows. So I'm working out of a studio that he owns there, and I'm doing mixtapes and and everything. And I'm like, yo.
My brother bossed up. Let's go. Let's go. Troy, like, no, we're here to talk about that. I got you. Go ahead.
And you know, I'm like, yo, I'm DJing. I'm doing my thing. He's like, book it. He's like, let's try it out. So we build a relationship. And eventually I'm doing all these shows and I'm learning who all these artists are. So you got like Denzel Curry, Rob Banks, Puya, Fat Nick, Suicide Boys, like all those guys that are big right now.
In their own right.
But we're doing 200, 300 cap rooms back then. Sure. And they're building and building and building. And watching the growth of hip hop, they seen a void, another void.
Yeah.
There's no real big hip-hop festivals that cater to that genre of hip-hop, this underground genre. And there's a big Florida movement happening at that time, too. So they come up with the idea for Rolling Loud.
Got you. So you was there before Rolling Loud was even the name. Yep.
Yeah. So this is probably like 2011 that I met them.
Oh, wow.
And then it's just been building. By the way,
that's 13 years ago. That lets you know how hard. Like, because people be thinking people come out at night.
Oh, no.
Like, if people think you're going to say 2019, it's like, no, 2011.
Mm-mm. And they ain't win straight off, though.
Oh, no.
They didn't.
No. So the first Rolling Loud that happened was in Miami. It was in, like, a warehouse district. And we had, like, four stages. We had, like, one big stage and a bunch of smaller stages. And majority of the lineup was made up of Florida artists.
Yep.
And then we had Schoolboy Q as a headliner. Travis Scott was on there. But, like, Travis Scott was, like, becoming Travis Scott.
Yeah. It's all timing.
Yeah, A$AP Ferg, Action Bronson, Juicy J, Currency. I'm missing a lot, but there's a lot. Actually, Post Malone performed.
Yeah.
Before, like, people knew who he was. Like, he was there. And it was probably the worst rain in Miami history up until then. The entire venue flooded. All the streets had like 2 feet of water. You couldn't drive through.
Did the show go on?
Yeah, the show's going on. So as soon as the doors open, it starts raining, pouring down.
Is it outside at this time?
It's inside. So two of the stages are outside. Two of the stages are inside. The main stage is inside. There's a small stage. I guess you would call it like stage three. It's a small like platform stage. Yeah. Then stage two, which was like a bigger stage, was outside. So we're running two stages that were outside, inside. So we're throwing, instead of like there being artists, space being in between artists, we're just throwing artists on.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Boom, boom, boom. So we run that. The rain stops. And then it's like everything just got beautiful. Everyone showed up.
It's on the other side.
And the stages opened up outside. And it's just like that was
God's
the beginning. Yeah, it was just like all this chaos, and then by the end it was just like great, everyone had a great time. So now we do it again the next year, and it's kind of like this perfect storm of like Rolling Loud in hip-hop growth.
Yep.
It was like simultaneous. Yep.
Because it was almost like Rolling Loud was the underbelly. Rolling Loud told you, and by the way, where they are now, they're the predictor in a lot of ways.
And
like, you want your name on the lineup just to say, I'm on the lineup, I'm coming up. I'm at the bottom now, but next year I'm gonna be second. And the object is that. So they definitely made themselves that. I gotta give them that for sure.
And it's been that. So like the second year, we had Thug headline the first night and then Future headline the second night. But when they booked Future, Future was, he hadn't dropped Dirty Sprite 2 yet. And then by the time the show happened, Dirty Sprite 2 was out.
Ooh. Another time, man. God's time would be working in your favor.
And What a Time to Be Alive was out, I believe, too.
Yeah.
And so now he's the biggest rapper pretty much on the planet at that moment.
Yeah.
And we have him headlining in Miami on our festival.
Yeah. It was over.
Yeah. And then the next year was our flagship, like the one that put us on the map, like was, around
was
the world.
When, was that when, did Live Nation come in before then, or was that the show?
This is still independent, the Matt and Tariq, and they have like an investor, but like this is them.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, Live Nation didn't come into play until 2019.
It was after the
pandemic. Yeah, so right? It was actually like at pandemic time when Live Nation came in.
That's when everybody needed money.
Yeah.
We didn't know what the future was going to look like. That's when everybody was selling catalogs. We didn't know what the future was going to look like during the pandemic.
And then like a lot of festivals didn't come back.
Yeah.
Because they were, especially like the timing was so bad because the, I'm kind of getting off topic, but like that's a whole other thing. Like the timing was so bad because everything shut down in March and then festival season
starts like April.
Starts right there. And then so all the deposits and marketing money.
That's what I said. Everybody needed money because now everybody's
Had
it was to just alter their business.
Horrible.
So everybody needed money.
What's going on?
Yeah.
But back to the story. So the my growth with them with the festival has really just been like me being reliable. To tell you the truth.
No. It's funny. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said something that, to me, I think tells everything. And I think a lot of people watch this show and I think a lot of people just see the business in general and feel like the game is hating on me. The game is hating on me. I'm better than DJ fucking Five Venom. I'm better than him. You might be better DJ than him, but are you willing to show up, carry crates, do the other work? Because no one is gonna reward you unless you're doing the work.
Yes.
People think that you're supposed to get rewarded because they said they want to do the work. I want to be an A&R. Now give me a job. Nah. No. I want to be a DJ. Okay. No, you have to do the work. And that's what that to me, it was like, even with the how you started Rolling Loud, I see the chain on. I'm like, that's different. Mm-hmm. You bet on them. They bet on you.
Yes.
Everybody wins. Niggas don't want to bet. Mm. They don't like betting. They want you to bet on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they hit big, they're going to switch up on you. Like, I was going to win anyway. Well, why the fuck didn't you bet?
But that's the thing.
That's the thing, yeah.
Like, we always say, like if even like they criticize the lineup, right? They're like, oh, I'm better, bigger than this person. Yeah. It's like, well, throw your own festival.
Yeah.
Like,
that, but with the people, man, we live in a world now where if you figure it out, you can be great.
Mm-hmm.
I have a community, by the way. Join my community if you haven't. You should. Link is in my bio. I have the Dreamers community. And when I'm in there with these people, like, you can just tell, like, they're there for one thing. And I'm like, no, that's not what I want y'all here for. Mm. Like, they're there for me. No, you're here for you. If you're here for me, then that means it's always on me to determine how you feel or the outcome of you. I don't want the outcome of no one. You just got to show up. And if you show up, like I'm in the middle of some deals right now, and I was talking to my girl last night, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna bring in such and such and such. And they was like, why him? And I'm like, he showed up every fucking day. And to me, that's what people don't understand. Like, you gotta show up.
Yeah.
And you gotta show up whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's you feel like you don't wanna be there. Mm-hmm. You gotta create the habits of showing up, because showing up really is half the battle.
And discipline.
Yeah, you gotta have that discipline, and people don't. And these artists don't watch this. And by the way, I was working. You wouldn't believe how many artists that I was. One particular artist I was managing had a good buzz, and he was like, "Bro, I just want to do Rolling Loud." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I'm like, you know me, I'm a man. I'm like, dog, I'm on year 19 of being in the music business. I don't think about the next 19 days, and I'm richer now than I've ever been. I don't think about the next 19 days. I think about the next 20 years. So every conversation I have is I enter every conversation as a 10-year conversation.
Mm.
Everything. So what I mean by that is like I'll give you an example. My guy right here, Donnie. Donnie worked at a restaurant. He recognized me and would take, you know, nigga, hey, how many you got with you? All right, cool. Y'all table right there. I'm like, shit, I like this nigga. He just gave me a, you know what I'm saying? He could have left it there. He leaves to go to another restaurant. He calls me. Yo, I don't work at that spot that you used to go to. I work at this other spot. Pull up here now. So I start going there. And then he's like, I'm in the restaurant. He's like, yo, by the way, I got a podcast. I'm like, okay, you'll do my podcast. Of course. Dumb. Nigga, you give me, he hear you. You know what I mean? And now he's here and he's like an intern starting to working. That was a year ago. everybody wants it so fast. You gotta give, like, it's like what we all really want is love.
Yes.
Like the core of it. Obviously, love brings money. If the world loves you, you're probably rich as fuck. The world loves Taylor Swift. The world loves Drake. The world loves Kendrick. The world loves Beyonce. That's why they're rich.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? So I'm just like, dog, you just really want the world to love you. Love is the most organic thing that happens, though. You can't just do something and say, hey, here goes some water. You love me now?
Nope.
No. Love is something I can't control, which means you have to show up for it for it to show up for you. And so many people want to be in this shit, but they don't understand that part. Like, you have to show up. Yeah. And like, sometimes you have to show up when it's nothing in it for you. Because the people in the room are going to be like, damn, don't think Tariq and Matt, you said Matt.
Yes.
Don't think Tariq and Matt went in the room one day being like, yo, this dude, five Venom, this motherfucker is just with us.
Yeah.
We need to make him the face of, like, that's because you showed up.
I got the full story about the show up part. So our first out of Miami show we did was in the Bay Area, and I think San Jose. And when they announced it, I hit Tariq. I'm like, yo, am I good to pull up for that show? Like, book me for that show. He's like, yeah. Never talked to him about it ever again after. Mm-hmm. I booked a flight, booked a hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, just going to pull up.
Yeah.
I get out there. I fly out there, get to the hotel. And I like walk over to the, I had a bunch of time, so I just walk over to the venue.
Yeah.
On my way walking over there, Tariq calls me. He's like, yo, I need you out here. Like, I forgot to hit you, get it all straight. Like, where you at? Like, I'm like, yo, I'll be there in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm here already.
That's incredible. That probably made them love you right there.
But that was the moment that they locked me in as being the official Rolling Loud DJ, because it was like, I showed up. I didn't know I was getting paid. I didn't know. I just know I needed to be there because that was my job, and I held it down for all the other festivals. And I had told him, "Yo, I'm coming."
You made yourself essential.
Yes,
that's what people don't understand.
An asset,
huh?
You made yourself an asset.
That's my point. Like, people don't understand that. Like, you gotta just. I think like you, but my thing is, I don't even worry about Tariq and Matt. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God is watching, and I'm a praying man. And I believe that, you know, when you pray and you like, if you could just give me this, and it's like, why? Why should I give you that? Which you think about it. It's like, praying is some audacious shit when you think about it. God, if you just bless me with this. And it's like, bro, you got two legs. You got a voice. Get the fuck up and go get it. And then I'll bless you.
Yeah.
But you can't. It's not going to find you in your apartment.
No, it's the actions.
It's going. The action is what makes the difference in how far we go. And that's what I'm like. As soon as you call him, he probably already know how it is. Sometimes you're all over the place. You got,
oh yeah,
then you're like, and it's like, yo, five, let me call him. Fuck, I gotta get him on the plane. Yeah. He 2 minutes away. Oh,
I think it's
high. He's with us. That's he's us now. Yeah,
it's the work that you do that's unseen. People want to see everybody think you want people to see your work. But it's the work that's unseen that really counts.
Yep. Is that and to me, it's like I'm just watching, and I'm like. And it frustrates me because I'm a black man and I know what music and I know what all of this stuff did for my mother and my family, like, and my kids. Like, it's real. Like, my kids live a very comfortable life because of music. And I want that for everybody. And I know the route. Everybody's at the front trying to get in, waving their hand. All we do is say, yo, bro, you walking in? You walking in? All right, cool. Phil, you walking in? All right, cool. Let me help you carry this. Now you're like, shit, come on. He's with me.
Yep.
You just made yourself essential. That's all I want talent to do, is understand that it's on y'all. It is so easy to win in these days. You just got to get off your ass and try. And no one wants to do that.
Everyone wants to hand it to
everyone. Everyone wants to feel comfortable with it. They might say, I want to hand it to me. I just want to feel welcome. Motherfucker, this ain't. Hell you, nigga, this ain't welcome. Nigga, you alive. That's welcoming. Go get it now. You have to. So you're the DJ of Rolling Loud. What is now that you've established yourself with your brand adjacent to a huge brand, one of the biggest in hip hop, what is the next 5 years for Five Venom? No pun, five. But
from this moment.
From the next 5 years, what are the things that you have to do, that you're setting out to do, that you like, I have to do this?
Music. Music right now, putting out my own records, working with artists all over the world right now is my priority. Like, mm-hmm. I've done the nightclubs, I've done the festivals, mm-hmm. Shoot, even mixtapes. Like, I was doing, I had like a 5-6 year run of physical mixtapes, distribution all over the country, like doing that. So it's like right now is working with artists. My goal, everything right now is just working with artists, putting out records.
So when you say working with artists and putting out records, what does that mean? Like, so, is it DJ Chose, who actually raps?
Mm-hmm.
Is it DJ Khaled, who puts people on the songs and he screams on the mm-hmm. records? Or is it Metro Boomin, where you're producing the music? Like, which one is it for you?
It's going to be a blend between Khaled and Metro.
Got you. So you produce too?
The producing.
Yeah, because Khaled produces too.
Yeah. So I have producers. Yeah, we're producing.
For sure.
But it all ties in for the platform too.
When you releasing it?
I just released a single called I Still Got It with Eastside K-Boy, T-Fly, and RJ Mr. LA
mm-hmm.
From LA. So we dropped that right after the LA festival about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So that was my first single. Well, first single I've dropped in a couple years. And right now I'm just gathering records. Like, I'm here in Atlanta
mm-hmm.
working at camp. We got three top producers with me from my label, and we just have an artist come through.
So
and
record. Why wouldn't you, I'm just asking
yeah.
you, why wouldn't you call, why wouldn't you make DJ 5 Venom, DJ Drama, and make Rolling Loud Gangsta Grills?
I don't own Rolling Loud. And the
you
license.
Don't have to.
Okay.
But because it's a brand that you are connected to,
yeah.
you don't have to. Collaboration is necessary for growth.
Yes.
A lot of us don't grow because we want to do it all on our own, mm-hmm. right? Like, and collaboration is how you bring in other people, right? And most people are so focused on their own shit that they don't see. You might, and by the way, that guy might have less followers than you,
mm-hmm.
but who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You ain't there for your followers, you there to take his 40,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point, collaboration. And by the way, he wants to showcase you to his 40,000 and everything. But let me tell you what I mean by Rolling Loud. So imagine if you go into Rolling Loud, and when you go into there, it's a barcode everywhere to download the Rolling Loud mixtape, right? Hosted by, that's what I said, Gangsta Grills,
mm-hmm.
DJ Drama. Drama does own Gangsta Grills,
yes.
but Drama is bigger than Gangsta Grills.
Yes.
And he don't need to do a Gangsta Grills to make money, because now he has Uzi and he has Jack Harlow. See what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
so he used Gangsta Grills as a platform to break talent. He broke talent on the Gangsta Grills. Then he started breaking his own talent, or using those same tones to break his own talent. And it was just all brand things that were brand adjacent that helped each other. So imagine I walked in Rolling Loud and it was like, download the Rolling Loud mixtape. Now, fuck after the show.
Right there.
I want it at the show. You got how many people that have? 100,000 people?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
got 100,000 people screaming the barcode every time it's an intermission. Now they're incentivized to post it, promote it now. Mm-hmm. So now every time it's an intermission, when it's between songs, sets, they only playing the Rolling Loud mixtape. You see what I'm trying to say? So now, you gave up 50% to them, but now y'all both have built brands, and the brands work. They work together. Like, I think we focus too much on ownership when we own ourselves.
That's true.
And to me, if you own yourself, then it's okay to lend your talents to someone else's brand, because you already know what you're going to do with it. Carrying crates. What the niggas you carrying crates at for? They probably calling you to get their kids tickets to Rolling Loud.
Yeah. That's
see what right. I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
it flips.
Yeah.
It always flips. So why wouldn't you start creating that activation, promoting music video? Like, dog, yeah. I would just do everything there.
So what I do at the festival is my guest set. So the DJ 5 Venoms and Friends set, which crosses over. So I dropped a song with Eastside K-Boy. Eastside K-Boy performed on my set
exactly.
at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the cross brand there, and we're announcing, yo, this song's dropping.
What I'm trying to tell you is the key. See, this is what artists don't understand. The key is, where can you be? Where do you have a presence where you're not physically at?
Mm.
And that's the key, right? Like, You know what I mean? Artists have told me, man, when I perform my music, everybody goes crazy. Yeah, motherfucker, then go perform it for the whole world then. Nigga, most times we hear people's music, it's not them performing it for the first time. No. It's hearing it somewhere. Music is easy to do because music goes everywhere. They even got a thing called elevator music. Just for your 30-second ride in the elevator. Because that's how instrumental music is to everything we're doing. It's everything we're doing, James. And so music is instrumental to everything we're doing. So why wouldn't... So what I'm telling you is that there are three things happening right here that I see. There's you, there's the music, and then there's Rolling Loud.
Yes.
Why the fuck would we not put them all together and give them to... Like, it's the most obvious thing to do. Like, that's why these companies like the Shade Room... If I was the Shade Room, I'd start the Shade Room agency. I wouldn't even let you pay me to be on the Shade Room. I would pick the talent that I want to promote, promote them all day, and then say, all your bookings come to me. The bigger you get, the bigger we get. Now we're making money out the ass, and we're picking out who we want to put content with. Like, it's weird how we want to separate things, but we know it. That's like McDonald's saying we want to sell coffee. Let's open up McDonald's coffee. Nigga, why would we do that? We could just sell coffee out of McDonald's. You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah, it's like, why are we separating the two? You don't need to separate. I'm telling you, if I walk in, connect every dot. That's why I use Khaled. Because Khaled because Khaled is not the rapper, what does Khaled do? He takes advantage of everything. Mm-hmm. Rock Nation got an event, I'm there. He opens up a sneaker store. He's doing this. He's playing golf. Now he's selling golf. Like, dog, he understands. So sit in the middle and surround yourself with things that you love and make money from all of that shit. I'm telling you, a DJ, you are Rolling Loud, you're making music. Why the fuck are we dropping something a month after?
Yeah.
Nigga, I want y'all to hear that shit now. Matter of fact, if you show me it's on your phone, I'll give you, well, I have another activated cell where you can get, I don't care. Phil? I just want you to download this shit and stream it.
Phil? You hear that, Phil?
Yep.
Say, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm going to put you on blast. I'm sorry. but my point is that we make it hard. We make it harder than it has to be. When I was speaking to, I'm not going to say his name because he might not want me to put this information out, but somebody very big. Okay. Somebody who me and KP both look up to. You'll figure that out.
Okay.
And when he was starting his label, he was signing talent from everywhere. Mm-hmm. Pop artists, rap artists, you starting a label, why wouldn't you, right? And I called him, I said, you can't do that no more. I said, you need to do what QC did. And I know you got a bigger taste, but QC started off with one brand of genre and owned that shit. And everybody helped everybody. So the City Girls first record was written by Lil Yachty. When Baby goes out, Migos takes him out there. It's like, so artists can help each other.
Yes.
If I got this rap over here and this pop artist over here, I'm praying that both of them work. But they can't help each other, they get big. Shit on top of shit, bro. That's how we break. That's how we break. It's like you said, we started off with this. We was smart. We was doing Currency, but we brought in West Fifth for the locals. Yep. You understand what you're doing. Why wouldn't you do the music the same way?
I would say, you know, it depends on the people's mindset that you're doing business with.
Well, I get that, but here's the thing. That's true, but then no one gets mad when you give them a piece.
No, if you
get a piece and you don't have to do nothing, no one's mad at that.
And that's true.
No, that's definitely
that's why I'm saying we got to be creative with how we bring income to the table.
Yep.
See, niggas be want to get in your pocket. Damn, you making $1 million a year. I want some of that. No, nigga, help me make $3 million a year so you can make your own million. Now we both got $1.5 million
That's definitely true.
If we think like that, we get further.
Yep.
Collaboration is power. Rock Nation is the biggest because of everything they're connected to.
Definitely.
Like, even who the CEO's wife is makes a difference.
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. They understand power. Who Khaled is managed by? Rock Nation. Who does Khaled go on tour with? Beyonce. No one else gets that opportunity. They under fucking stand.
Repeatedly.
And Khaled probably was like, they'd probably make a dollar from that shit. Flew himself there to, because he like, nigga, what?
Yeah.
Beyonce like, I give you shit. Lucky I gave you a stage, nigga. You better go out there and dance.
But that platform,
it's true though. That's it. And by the way, you should respect it because that's business.
That's it. Yeah.
That platform alone.
But it did everything else.
Everything else helps. So if I'm Rolling Loud DJ, why wouldn't I make the Rolling Loud mixtape? Why wouldn't I do Rolling Loud mixtape and then get the artists from Rolling Loud on it, do the young motherfuckers, and now we showcasing you. Matter of fact, that should be a part of the deal.
Yeah.
You want to get booked on Rolling Loud, we need you to be on this mixtape. We got a verse from you. I mean, obviously Future and Cactus, them niggas ain't got to do that. What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister is, she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But
the other guys,
the new
other
niggas guys
definitely got to.
And then you can start pairing niggas up. Now, dog, now you owning masters. Like, it's money coming from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you should do it. Don't, nigga, it was one person on every DJ Khaled verse.
Yeah.
It was one person on every DJ Khaled record. Y'all know what that is, right? Rick Ross.
Mm-hmm.
We taking over Rick Ross. All I do is win Rick Ross. Everything he did, Rick Ross was on it.
Yep.
Nigga, that was how you do it. And I'm pretty sure you probably said, Ross, give me that song. When Jay-Z did Fuck Me, You Know I Got It, Ross, that was Ross' record. Mm-hmm. Give me that. Put it on mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now it feels bigger because it's on mine. It's just the game, bro. Yeah. We just be so busy
that's
trying
their
to keep
mindset,
away.
Though,
we got
too.
To share. No, but if they don't have that mindset, it's your job and your job to make them see that. Right. That's the fucking problem. Hey, y'all don't, I'm not asking you for nothing. Besides, I'm just bringing money to the table.
Yeah.
Do you want the money? Cause niggas really get mad when you start making money without them. Then they start, I'll put them on.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah.
Now he charging us twice as much to do. Like, oh,
you gonna do me like that?
I know the game, bro. That's why you gotta, L.A. Reid taught me this, bro. You gotta seduce people, bro. Like, what would they want for them to be a part of this? They just want, they probably don't want nothing but to see you win. But man, you gave me $100,000 check for nothing. That might be my car note money for the month. Who knows? Yeah. That's what I would do. Put the music out that way. Cause the thing about, if you're not gonna be the thing about Metro was insulated. That's why Metro won. He was insulated. First of all, he was signed to Future.
Mm-hmm.
I know that cause I did Future's deal with Rondor and the joint venture. And I should've got paid for Metro getting signed, but that's another story. he was signed to Future.
Mm-hmm.
How did Metro break out? Future and Drake wanna do an album together. Metro, he's in the room. He does the whole album. He didn't get paid nothing on the front end. Everything came on the back end. Now he's headlining shit with Future and dissing Drake. He made it, my nigga. He made it, my nigga.
Yeah, we're driving yesterday and we hear the BBL Drake. And it's on the radio.
Bro, but that's what I'm saying. Look at now, as big as Drake is, not to get off subject, as big as he is, Drake gonna have to do Rolling Loud now. He gonna have to do it because you've been isolated.
And it's funny that you said it because he wouldn't do Rolling Loud.
No, it wasn't that he wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't do it.
It's just
why would? But be honest with you, why would he do it?
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's my point.
Yeah,
he'll do it now.
Yeah,
he gonna do it now because he need friends, and he realized that he on his own, and he thought because he was the biggest, he thought America respected big. Mm. America don't respect big. America respects true. Because if it's true, we coming after your ass. That's why Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby all went down. They was big as a motherfucker. But when the truth outweighs big, and to me, that's why I'm like, he'll do it. He gonna have to. He gonna have to do. He gonna be out here giving little niggas verses right now. He has to. But now he has to be friends too now. Because he used to give them verses and leave. And they was like, thank you for the blessed God. And now they like.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Like, nigga, I don't want your shit. You using us to get hot. He gonna be doing records of Anti the Menace and all these, and Honcho, and I promise you, a nigga about to get verses from it. If I was them, I'll ask right now. Cause he needs it. He needs some good PR. But back to what we was talking about. So you released the mixtape, and what else is in a 5-year plan?
Touring is a big part of it. I wanna put my own tours together with the artists that I'm working with, and you know, just the international, like getting introduced to the international market through Rolling Loud has shown me a lot more too with that touring and crossing over artists in different markets. Ooh. So being in Thailand, and they have a whole hip hop culture over there that's, I don't see a lot of artists from here tapping into. Mm-hmm. And they got like millions and millions and millions of people over there listening to that music. And I'll give you a good example. I have a homie, Dice Soho, from Houston. I'm out in Thailand for the festival. He hits me. He's like, yo, I'm out here. I'm at the festival. Mm. He's like, I got songs with guys out here. And yeah. I'm looking, I go on YouTube, million views, million views, million views on these songs that I've never heard of from artists in Thailand, and Dice on it. He's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring you out my guest set. Cool, bring him out. I'm playing the records. They singing the words. They know all of his music. It's people from Thailand that know Dice Soho from Houston, Texas. Mm. So it's like these crossovers and seeing that, I want to be part of that too and connecting those dots.
So why don't you then put on a tour like what Jay Carnum is doing right now, where they doing a stripped down version of One Music Fest in Texas, right? Like my thing, I want everybody to listen to here. If you're not sitting around thinking for yourself like we're talking right now, you are fucking behind. Because if you're at the mercy of someone waking up saying, damn, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. And that shit might not ever come. Or it might come a day you ain't available. You know what I'm saying? So if you're not creating, like, so my thing is, I'm like, I would drop the mixtape at Rolling Loud. I already got two other ideas. I would do a tour, like a small tour, like 1,000 venue. Keep the brand going. 1,000 venue tour with everybody on the mixtape. That's an incentive to get on it. But this is what I'll also do. I'll make the mixtape live at Rolling Loud. I'll have a booth. I'll let motherfuckers go through the beats they like. Pick the beats. I'll make motherfuckers sign release on their way in. So I have my release and everything I need. Get in the booth. Make the song. Record it as content. I wouldn't let them know who they're on the song with. So now they're listening when it's coming out. You just having to pick the same beat as this nigga who you probably don't like. And it doesn't matter. Like, they got to know that that's a part of it.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe pick 10 beats. Pick the beat you want. Put a verse on it. Put a verse on it. Now you got 3 verses from somebody. That beat is over. I got 9 more beats. Now you got verses. Then you record the whole thing. And then you release it at the Rolling Loud. But that's content for days and days and days. Yeah. That's what Khaled does. When he yells, Drake vocals are in. Yeah. Like, his excitement is like, you almost like, I want to hear it now.
Yeah, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's my point. You see what I'm saying? He knows how to make you want it. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be immersive. Everything needs to be, I need to feel like I'm completely involved. Nigga, if it's gonna be a show, I need the after show, I need the pre-show, I need everything. That's how people are right now. That's why niggas' girlfriends is famous. That's why niggas' kids is famous. Like, we didn't, I would tell somebody, we didn't care about. We all knew Michael Jordan's wife's name was Juanita Jordan, but we never heard her talk.
Ninny.
Every other basketball player, the girlfriends are brands now because we want access to everything now. Because we have our phones in our hands. So now we want access. You have the access. Why wouldn't you take it? Like, I would have a booth there. I'll get a sponsor to pay for it. They'll love that. Sony, somebody give you a few $100,000 to set the booth up and money. Have a booth there. Have artists come there and say, here's a part of your deal. We're going to come in there and you're going to make a song. We're going to freestyle a verse. That's it. Or maybe a hook, whatever it is. And yep. Just put it together on some Khaled shit. I would listen to that.
Now we.
And then take them on tour. See, it feels weighty, don't it? It feels heavy what I'm telling you, don't it?
We've had these convos.
It does, right?
So listen, and I'm thinking.
I'm like, it feels heavy, don't it?
Like, so Ray, the conversation like, you were having, I'd have had the conversation. Yeah, like, it'd be like, it makes sense to me.
It makes sense, but he also knows, like, my mindset. But after what we've been recently doing, it seems more feasible, especially the way.
Glad like, somebody else is saying it. Thank you, Ray. sometimes it takes. No, what does. I say, you can't be a prophet in your own home.
dog, you are literally connected to the mothership, and you are saying everything I do. That's what our problem is as a people, as a culture, and that's why we break up, because we can't see. It's like we want the win so bad, we kind of don't want to share it. And it's like, nah, share that shit. You better share that shit. You better. I don't give a fuck. Like, money is, to me, it's all about greatness. Michael Jordan made more money after the league. Mm-hmm. Like, Jay-Z made more money after he stopped doing music. Because he was always dedicated to greatness first. He never sold out for a dollar. Everything he did was on brand. You got it on your neck. Why we ain't using it? Everything would be that. I would be the official DJ for real. I would create the entire business.
I would say he's such a humble person too, that he put things for me. Cause like, I think the time when Rolling Loud did their biggest one, that's the one that you put KP on, the DJ, when you ain't had no DJ on those, when they didn't do sets for DJs, right?
You talk about that was like Kendrick Lamar. The 2017 one. Yeah, that one was the X was on, that was Travis Scott, Lil Wayne, Post Malone, A$AP Rocky, Damn just dropped, I think, like a month right before that. So it was Kung Fu Kenny.
Was up.
Yeah.
I went to the Damn concert where you had the ninja on stage doing all that shit. That was crazy.
So it was like, that was the energy.
Yeah.
And Yachty, Uzi jumping off of the front of the house. Like all these iconic moments. Yeah. You know, X with the looking like Majin Buu in the front of the stand, like just
DJ going. 5 Venom made a mixtape.
Yeah.
And that mixtape, everybody talk about. They made that. It's just part of the conversation.
Yeah. And it's and what you're saying is was definitely needed to be said, because it's something that we talked about. And when you hear from somebody else saying it, it registers again.
Yeah.
Because
it's obvious. It's like, I go for the most obvious. Most of the time, we want to show you with more. I'm more than that, bitch. Like Shaq, all we want you to do is dunk the ball. Like dunk the ball with some championship. That makes us happy. I'm not saying, I only use him because that's all you got to do is dunk the ball. Like, you don't have to, like, obviously he's all those other things afterwards, but that's because he dunked the ball every time. He wasn't trying to be a sheriff and a businessman and a brand while he was in the league. He was trying to win. And that's why he is. And that's what I think we'd be getting lost in.
Part of it for me too was, I'm one of those people that kind of try to handle everything myself. And that's why, like, when he says, like, oh, we'll set up and do this or do that, and I'm like, okay, I gotta figure out how I'm gonna do this is not in that, but now I'm figuring out how to build team, have guys that can handle these things and trust too.
Yeah,
so that's part of it, and that's like my growth right now. For is sure. Having a team, having people, like, we got
showing yourself you can
right
do
now
it.
Working like on my behalf that I can trust.
Yeah.
And they're making music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're handling it.
Yep.
So like, now my brain opens up a little bit more, like, okay, all I gotta worry about is just getting them there.
Yeah.
Having them set up, and they already know what to do now.
Yeah.
And I can go handle what else I gotta handle, come back.
Yeah.
You're less in the control.
Yeah.
You're very vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
Oh, what's your sign?
Technically, Gemini. I'm May 22nd.
So you're a Taurus.
You said Taurus, Taurus Gemini.
Yeah, I'm like, it's like a day into Gemini.
And
you,
I mean, you're hard-headed and there's two niggas in there. It's like a hard-headed and there's two people you got to do. Well, just yeah, what? Like, what?
Yeah, so it's, but it, like, we'll be talking, having convos, like, even like 2 years ago, talking about stuff that's like coming to fruition now. I'm like, dang, I wish I listened to y'all then.
You know, so I'll tell you something. You gotta have your, and that's why I fuck with you. Cause I've met you 7 different ways that was all powerful, and you had a different role in all different ones. So I'm like, this nigga a promoter, this nigga a manager, he's a, okay, like he does it all. So that is very, very, very necessary in today's market that you are able to wear those other hats. So you got Troy, he could wear the hats. Just don't be afraid to fail. The attempt matters more than the outcome.
Man, that was deep. You gotta say that again. Because a lot of artists fear of failing when it's really winning.
No, that's what I'm saying. The attempt is the win.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't believe how many things I've done that I didn't want to do because I said I have to get on the other side of this. It's kind of like I'm gonna go a little bit immature, so don't mind me. It's kind of like sex, right? When you're a kid, it's all you want. It's like, oh my God. It's like, before you get it, it's like every day. You got it today? Did you do it today?
Yeah.
I got close though. Oh shit. Yeah, we're getting closer. And then that day you finally do it, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good, but.
Yeah, but.
Now it's no more. It's no, oh, what does it feel like? So for me, I got to get to the other side. And what I'm telling you is don't worry about the outcome. The outcome, somebody taught me this. The rules are already written. So, like, if you pray for, like I'm a Knicks fan, right? So, it's like, you can't pray that the Knicks win over the Pacers. Like, the rules of the game is already there. It's like, unless you want to change the rules for you, all your team got to do is make sure they're ready. That's the key. Just making sure you're ready. You feel me? So when I'm looking at you, I'm like, bro, you got it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. You scared. You are. I could tell you scared. You don't have this much access and not do as much as you do. Unless, and by the way, fear, I'm afraid every day of things. But when I fear something, I run towards it. If I'm afraid of Phil, I'm running to him. I can't sit here in my body knowing I'm afraid of you. I'm running to you. Let's get this shit over with now. Because I know I'm afraid. So I'd rather get it over with, so at least I'm not afraid of that no more. And fear sitting in your body is bad for you. It's bad for stress. It's bad for everything. But yeah, you afraid, man. No. You afraid of having this big platform and dropping it. But I'm here to tell you, you can't lose. The attempt is the win. That's what I wish artists knew. The attempt is the win. The fact that you went on stage and performed in front of 3 people and no one cared, and you still gave it your best, that's the win. Because guess what? When they do care, you're already prepared for when they don't.
Yes.
So it's nothing that can hurt you. See what I'm trying to say?
No, I'll tell artists that same exact scenario and me following it. I need it's to hard. Follow my own.
Bro, yeah, like. I tell you something. We don't see ourselves.
Yeah.
That's true.
We don't see ourselves. And sometimes I was on one of my homies. Actually, he did it, by the way. Lou Williams. I'm going to tell you. Lou called me one day. He was like, yo, Ray, I'm out the league. You know, I'm just trying to figure out like what I want to do next. I got shit going on. And I'm like, what do you want to do? And he was like, this. He started naming a couple things. I was like, bro. You're Lou fucking Williams. You can get the president of the United States on the phone. I know it might feel like you can't. It might take a week. But it's not like you somebody that work at the carpet place across the street. That's who worried. You're Lou Williams, man. All you got to do is call somebody and say, yo, tell him Lou want to talk to him. What is it about? He's Lou. He's a legend.
Yeah.
He was like, and he literally said, that's all I need to hear. I'll call you later. Now he got a podcast popping. So I'm saying? But I'm like, bro. And it goes DJ 5 Venom from Rolling Loud.
Yes.
And you're running the other way. You're saying, I want to do it myself. And I get it, because that feels good. And by the way, you're supposed to want to do it yourself, because technically you are. I'm just saying, do it in their house.
Yes.
Do it in their house. Yeah. Give them a piece.
No,
they give them a piece. They happy. You just brought them extra money.
No, they
the music
definitely
is blowing up. Now is you just created a whole new venue. Yeah. I was watching this this documentary. The CEO of Reebok, he was talking. He said, when they launched Reebok, they was trying to figure out the white space. Because he was like, Reebok made $9 million in 1989. And they were basically about to go under. And he was like, we trying to break into the sports and apparel business, but Adidas and Nike has basketball and football and all of the major sports under control. So Reebok, they went and focused on aerobics. They made $900 million the next year. They're not just selling aerobics, but they figured out how, where can we fit in this big picture of things? And I'm telling you, that's where you can fit. Because as much as we love Rolling Loud, it's nothing that leaves from there outside of the performances. Like, people still talk about NLE Choppa's performance. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like people still talking about that. The performances. What if there was a mixtape? What if niggas is like, yo, Rolling Loud Miami, they better than Rolling Out LA. Rolling Out LA mixtape was good, but that Miami, them niggas.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Now everybody, bruh, that's all it is. We just want to have conversations. Give us something to talk about, and you're going to win. Don't be afraid. You got Troy with you.
Yeah,
definitely got
that's that nigga right there.
I know. I already know, man.
He said he got his hat on and his shirt. He ain't trying to style it or none. He's like, bitch, I'm here for work. Let's go. I'm only here for one thing. That's work.
No, definitely. Me and Troy, yeah, we've been to battle. You're 100% right. Definitely the fear of failure and because the feel of failure on such a big platform.
Of course.
That's the... You know, the DJ, Rolling Loud's DJ, and not living up to the expectation of what Rolling Loud is.
When I look at people, I always look at the maxed out version of them. DJ Khaled flies private, and they put his plane, his Maybach on a plane, because he wants to fly. He wants to drive his car when he gets to these cities. That's there for you right now, and you telling me you're afraid to fail. Nigga, if you don't get off your motherfucking ass, nigga. Nigga, if I know it's money there, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, for showing me the model of how to do it. I'm going to be the 20-year younger DJ Khaled, nigga. While Khaled is focusing on the big niggas, I'm going to build with the small niggas. When they get big, they ain't going to want to do nothing with nobody but me.
Yep. Who that sound like?
Hey bro, let me tell you something. I'm big on watching history, and this is the last thing I'm gonna tell you. I'm big on watching history, and what made me figure that out, that thought process out, was Tony Hawk. You know who Tony Hawk is?
Yes.
Okay, so Tony Hawk is considered the greatest skateboarder of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But when Tony Hawk started skateboarding, he was a skinny kid. Skateboarders had to have body mass, muscles, because the moves you did, you had to have a certain amount of upper body strength that he didn't have. So because he didn't have that strength, he started doing moves that I guess weak men can do, which then made skateboarding more popular because more people are shaped like him than they are like the muscle bound guys. Yeah. The muscle bound guys hated him. They didn't let him in. The reason why he got in, because his father said, I'm gonna create a tournament. And they can't tell you you can't participate. And I let everybody in. And he created the tournament, and they hated him more. Because they was like, you only here because your dad did it together. But while they was hating on him, watching him, he was becoming a motherfucking legend.
Yes.
And now he's richer than all of them. He's bigger than all of them. So I always tell you, if you worry about today's peers, you've already lost. Because these niggas are cooked. You need to be worried about the young niggas.
Yeah, definitely.
Because the young niggas are right. They just don't know it yet. That's why they get that a couple wins here and there, and then they up. Then they like, fuck all of y'all, because y'all told me I was wrong. But a young nigga, if the youngest nigga in the room is always the rightest nigga in the room. Like, not with big picture shit, but taste, listen to the young one.
You just got to monitor their perception.
Exactly. And now they monitor their perception. They also look up and are down, and they're going to one day be up. Mm-hmm. And when they up, dog, when they up, they gonna love you. That's why when I started doing a show, same thing. I'm like, I'm gonna do a podcast. Everybody said, you're gonna piss a lot of your peers off. Fuck them niggas. They ain't offering me a check anyway. So why the fuck am I worried about pissing them off? Now, the niggas that work for them and the young ladies that work for them all like, you know Ray? We wanna meet him. Why? because I was helping them when you was too busy trying to keep it from them. Mm. See what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Stop praying for the opportunity. Be the opportunity that people praying for. That's how you win.
That's been the mindset, right? Like help my whole goal with my platform is help.
But I know what you're waiting for, though.
Yeah.
I know what you're waiting for. You want me to tell you what you're waiting for?
What?
I do this for a living, by the way. You're waiting for one great thing to occur from what you're doing. You're waiting for one moment to occur so you can say, I told y'all it works. And then you're going to go get money to do it.
Because you're overthinking it.
But that one thing could have been yours, too, if you just wasn't afraid to take ownership of
yeah.
it. Yeah. Dog, nobody knocks a nigga for trying. The only people that knock somebody from trying are people that don't try.
That, yeah,
motherfuckers that try will never knock you for trying because they know how hard it is. Nah. It takes balls to do the shit I'm doing. Sitting in a chair and talking, it takes balls to do that. It takes balls to do what you're going to need to get to the other side, yeah. but you're going to have to do it.
Nah, I tell the artists that all the time. It's like, yo, you throw your own show and five people show up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But none of the artists that sell out 1,000 cap, they're going to think that's amazing because they were in that space and took that leap. And they understand how hard it is to get people to just show up to see you perform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I'm watching this whole thing play out, and I'm like, and I'm you. That's why I could see it. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes heart to do this. It takes heart to try. It takes heart because you never know what people are thinking. You can't worry about what they thinking.
Nah.
You got to just do it and go bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you had an opportunity. You just
really big opportunity.
I go for it. Because all you're going to get pissed if some little young DJ, little young nigga coming up and be like, yo, I got all the young dudes. I want to do a mixtape. And they do it. You're going to be like, Bill! Why the fuck did you let that happen? He like, bro, he came in the room. I didn't let it happen. He came in the room with the idea and I let him fly. You can't be afraid, bro.
Phil going to say, I just did the
test. I did my job. I don't know what you do.
He's like, hey, you need help.
Feels like, yeah. I just did the test. No, I just did
I'm
the
trying
test
to tell you. So, obviously, last thing I want to know, like, how do you feel about where two things I want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
DJ culture.
Okay.
Like, which we kind of talked about in the beginning, but I want you to speak to the young DJs. And then I want you to talk to the older niggas.
Yeah.
What would you say
There's
to the young
big
niggas?
Gap.
I said, I know that. And
yeah.
You're the middle.
Yeah.
That's why I asked you to say that.
So, it's a mindset thing, I too. So, like, earlier when I was talking about, like, that apprenticeship to, like, learning from the big homies, like, learning the etiquette, learning how to go through a night, how to control a crowd, how to work with club owners, promoters, bartenders. Like, you see it, you learn it. For the young guys, is passion is number one.
Yep, they don't have the passion.
Yeah, so passion, finding that passion. If you really love DJing and music, and find that passion, and then
don't do it unless you love it.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you don't last long. I've seen so many DJs that don't have a passion. They just want the look, like, oh, I'm the DJ, and they don't really learn the craft.
Yeah.
So you might be good in that market, but if you're not learning how to mix and the technical parts of it and really have the passion for it, you're going to fizzle out.
Yeah.
Because it's not an easy gig. You get fired, like, I don't know how many gigs I lost and got and then lost and then got and lost to the homies, too, at that. So it's like, oh, now we're bringing in so-and-so. He's a good DJ. Cool.
Yeah.
But it's been the opposite for me. Like, where I came in, they hired me and someone lost the job. So you go through that ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. If you don't have passion for it, you're not going to stick with it.
No dollar amount is worth the amount of shit you want to take unless you love it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And what about the OG DJs?
The OG DJs?
What was your experience coming up?
It depends, man. Like the right ones, like a Dent, for example.
Yes.
Like, been loved from day one, embraced me. Like, Q45.
Yeah.
Like, I met him. I'm like, yo, I'm in college. You need any help with anything? Like, I got you, bro. Like, and then he was just like, yeah, come on. And then I was into the technical part of it, the scratching, and that's his thing. So I'm like, I'm going up to Jacksonville. I'm staying at his crib.
Yeah.
We up at 4 a.m. just cutting.
Yeah.
Two setups going back and forth. We video. He's like, oh, I like that. All right, how'd you do that? We going back and forth. We did that for years. Like, but that's the passion.
Yeah.
But I learned so much from him.
He took the time to teach you.
Yeah.
I go a lot. One thing I'll say, everybody, everybody in this room need to be mentoring someone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're an intern, mentor a 13-year-old kid. Like, it's and here's why. It's double-edged sword. Here's why it works. The first thing is you're actually mentoring someone, which to me, I think you're doing God's work, right? The second thing is you get to see the younger version of yourself. You get to see the immaturity. You get to see the mistakes being mm-hmm. made. You get to see, then you're like, damn, that's me. So even as I'm talking to you, this is the interview. Troy's like, who that sound like?
Yeah.
If we get one view, that doesn't matter. The thing that matters is the conversation. Yeah. It's just a bonus that people are watching. They don't get that. The conversation is what's the bonus. Because if you're in the conversation, then you can contribute. And most of y'all can't contribute because you ain't in the conversation because you're too busy hating on the niggas that's doing the talking rather than finding out what's working for them. So I believe, and I've said on this show, and I want to be honest because I know there's probably people watching saying, why you didn't say that? I believe festival culture is killing the superstar. Mm. I believe that. And the reason why is because you got so many artists out here. By the way, Rolling Loud is 4 times a year in the U.S.?
Every quarter? This year it will be 2. I think it's Miami.
Okay, so 2.
And yeah, we normally do like New York here and there, but wait for...
So two Rolling Louds this year.
This year, yes.
That's probably going to be some of those guys' biggest payday. But that's just 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
You got to... That's another thing. Like, some places cost more on Friday and Saturday than they do on Monday.
That's a fact.
So these niggas is thinking that because somebody gave them $500,000 for a show, that's their price. And that's making them not want to go sell hard tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you guys' fault. I'm not blaming you guys. I'm saying that the artists are being lazy.
They're
being lazy. So it's like they think because they are like, I'm going to roll aloud. Okay, you're rolling loud. But that is actually your chance to show the fans in the audience that don't know you why they need to know you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the chance for that, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So outside of that, you got to still go do the work. You got to still go perform in that 700-seater room
mm-hmm.
and don't get caught up in the fact that I performed for 100,000 people yesterday.
Yep.
That's twice a year, baby girl. That's twice a year, homie. That's twice a year you don't get a chance to do that. Now, you might get 3 or 4 other festivals, but that's 5 times a year. Mm-hmm. If you play your cards right, you should be making money every fucking day. And artists don't get that. So that's why I think festivals are making these artists. And by the way, they're not great. That's another thing. Like, I always tell you want to know who somebody is, give them success. Give them a check. That tells you everything about somebody. It tells you, fucking tells you everything about somebody. It tells you about you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know who the fuck you really are until you got ample money. Then it's mm-hmm. like, you're going to be a dick. You don't know who you are.
It's like
you see what I'm trying to say? So these artists are so busy making the money, being dicks, they're ignoring the people at the bottom that just wish that they, like, yeah, I pay for the Rolling Loud to see you, but I would love to pay to see you in 1,000 room. I feel more intimate. I know. Matter of fact, when you're at Rolling Loud, you got to perform the hits. I want to hear you perform that record on your album that only us love.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They don't get that. And I think that festivals are doing that because, like, I'll be talking to niggas, like, my homies might call me, yo, I want such and such for a show. He told me he had $1.5 million for a rapper. I ain't going to say his name, but he said he had $1.5 million for a rapper. And I was like, oh, $1.5 million, that's good fucking money.
Yeah.
Let me call his team. I called him. I was like, yo, $1.5 million. He was like, oh, man, that nigga just turned down $4 million yesterday. Like, that's what
I'm
are
pretty sure
now.
I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's what we are now. And that's why we lose.
Because
you got the superstars, don't even want to be stars no more.
I was like,
meanwhile, Jay-Z is still getting money.
Yeah.
That's what makes me want to still get money. If I saw Jay-Z sitting down eating lunch with his kids and his wife, I might be like, well, what the fuck am I striving for? Homie, you the blueprint. Literally. Show us how. Now we're getting money in other places. Sports, entertainment, everything. That's what you got to be. You gotta be Jay-Z or DJs.
That's a lot.
That's my pause. Let the weight sink in. Let that weight on it. Nigga, I got a kid, I got a girl. I'm going on vacation. I'm like, bro, I feel you. But all I'm telling you is shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
He ain't say do it all at once.
And that's another thing.
That's what I'm like. I'm like, all right, tomorrow we got
to. He didn't took it all. Like, let me do it all.
Jay-Z be 55 this year, bro.
Yeah.
He be with that, but you got to get up the hill. That's what people are saying. You got that pushing up the hill is hard. Right now, we everybody in this room except for Phil is in the pushing up the hill set. Everyone in here is trying to push him to the top of the hill. And then we're literally trying to, no pun intended, rolling down that motherfucker loudly. That's what we all want. You got to get to the top of the hill, though, bro.
Yes.
And you ain't going to get to the, ain't nobody going to put you there.
No.
These conversations started. And now it's on camera. And here's, I'm going to tell you the worst part about it. People go watch this and say, I'm going to do that if he don't do it in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, we already so, in action though.
Listen, really, I'm telling you, yo, I'm talking about the other shit.
No, oh, he was saying other things.
Go the other shit.
Yeah.
I know exactly what he's saying.
Go the other shit. I got something for you. And then I got something. I don't know if you guys do this. I have a my friend just started a business, and he called me yesterday. Actually, I'll show it to you. So he basically is making. I know this sounds weird, guys, but he's making garbage bags.
Okay.
He's making garbage bags. He's not making garbage bags. He's making bags to take with you because he owns a restaurant. He said every time you go to a restaurant, the only thing that they don't make money on are the bags. Never thought about that.
Okay, yeah, because
exactly. So he basically was like, so he sent me this. I'm going to show it to you. He sent me something, and he was like, he sent me this. And he was like, what do you think of that?
That's dope.
Oh, that's dope.
It's just for the camera. He sent me this. He's like, what you think of that? I said, that's incredible. And he said, so I said, how much does it cost? He said, oh, no, it's free. Your brand is on it for free. We giving it to free to all the stores. So now when you go into these stores, you're walking out with a gosh, your bag. You could be walking. Now imagine if you had 100,000 DJ 5 Venom on there. Imagine you had that.
Just branded everywhere.
Every time they go to a store, you're like, you don't got to pay for products. Here go your product. Here go your bags for your stuff. And it's your name on it with a thing. Like, dog, we are not thinking. We just got to be creative with our thoughts. Like, how the fuck can I put myself over there? That's how you should be thinking. And you're making music, so it's easy. That's my last thing I have to say.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You had any questions?
No,
questions?
Like, I'm taking it in because you're literally nailing it. Right on the head, like the process, the thought, like the conversations we've been having over the last few years, and it's exactly where it is.
I give an example, like he seen me, like everybody was like in Orlando, like Orlando for being this, for Orlando to go and be a black person on Church Street in Orlando, and own a club, and the way we did it, we had to literally put somebody else in front of us. They'll go get the club.
Of course you do.
You know what I'm saying? So he seen me do it when they was like, nah, y'all can't do that. And I was like, bro, I'm tired of dealing with these.
City meetings too.
Yeah, city meetings. City meetings, going to talk to
people. We're the only black people in the room.
That's what you're supposed to.
So we went there and on a club in Orlando before the shooting happened at Pulse. That's when that happened. And a lot of clubs shut down. But that's when I was showing him like, bro, everybody told me I couldn't do that. They told us we couldn't do it. And we did it. And that's what I'm talking about. Like when he's saying, when I be talking to him about fear, like I run to the fear. Like when he said I run to the fear, I wear many hats. People like, you pivot, but I pivot good, but I also pivot because I also learn from somebody about pivoting.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
King pivot. KP. KP. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But I always pivot and knew, but that's one reason why I'm on both, you know, both teams because of the fact of how my thought process is. You got to have a mindset. Your mindset can't be stuck in one thing, and you gotta be diligent, and you gotta think smart about your next move.
And more importantly, you have to ignore all the history in your brain.
Yep.
That's
why you're afraid.
Yeah.
That's why you're afraid. You're thinking about the past. What happened back then? It ain't back then no more. It's your time now.
Yep.
And this is Artist Spotlight.
Well, this is counseling. Right there, a counselor for artists. Know, right?
I'm just telling you.
Add that to your name, the counselor. Wow.
Now, you know, that's why I said, that's why when I started off, I was like, I want you to do Artist Spotlight. I'm about interviewing you.
Yeah.
That's why I like doing Artist Spotlight, because this is all I do in meetings. It's just like, yo, why don't we try that or whatever? It's like, I'm like, but why not film it? Somebody might see it and it might change their life. And that's what it's
changed mine. Like,
yeah, see, I need nobody. Give it up for that life. Deputy in the house. That nigga deputy in his motherfucker.
Well, McClash, hey, man, he decided, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, man, but by the way, shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tone Carry. Shout out to Two Laws Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. But shout out to you for watching. Let's support this brother. Let's, when we see his name, let's rally around him, because if we don't have people like him winning, then we don't get more people like him winning. And we need people like you winning. We need people like you winning. We need people like me winning. Because if we don't do that, then we're telling the world that that people like us don't deserve. Only people that deserve is those people. And that's why most of us don't try. Because I spent the first 20 years of my life thinking I didn't deserve. And the last 20 years has been me telling myself I do, and I got everything I want. Because I deserve it. But I also go after it. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. But this is Artist Spotlight, presented by The God Show. We are out. Let's go.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.